Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 163. Just as a reminder, we are part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, and our show merchandise. I'm Tim. Joining me tonight, two hosts.
Sheba.
And John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yay!
Sometimes, folks, it's like pulling teeth around here. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. So our profile episode, and this has been a profile that I have been waiting a long time to do. Every few weeks, John will kind of, you know, drop a little hint of, hey, when are you going to do Moon Knight? And I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you do a character this week, John? And it's kind of like distracting him. It's like a cat with a laser pointer. Like, he's on to something, and then boom, I pull out the laser pointer, and bam, he's on that little red dot. It's great.
I saw a great meme today of Superman standing next to Batman and shooting the lasers out of his eyes. And then Catwoman was on the ground chasing the lasers.
Yeah.
Batman said, "All right, Bob, that's enough."
That's outstanding.
Oh, I like that. That's a good meme.
I like that. I think that's funny. Yes, because heroes do that. Yeah. So Moon Knight. Let me tell you something here about Moon Knight. It's kind of wild and crazy. And this is not the first time that you're going to hear me use the word crazy, and just to kind of couch this properly, not at all intending to poke fun at folks with any kind of mental illness. Moon Knight is a character with dissociative identity disorder, kind of formally known as multiple personality disorder. And it's a big central part of his character. And they really, it's not an aspect that they really make fun of too much in the comics, because it is a foundational part of his character and actually part of his success as well. But it also does lead him to do some really weird and crazy things and gives us some weird storylines. But there actually is so much to this character and a lot of different interaction. And obviously we have a Disney Plus show coming up sometime next year with Moon Knight that I'm really looking forward to. What I will say here, as we go into the description of Moon Knight, there's a lot of aspects to Moon Knight that have led people. Speaking of Batman, John, thank you for mentioning that and giving us context. Who have led folks to compare Moon Knight to Batman, because you have a lot of similarity. We've certainly heard a lot of the comparisons between Bruce Wayne slash Batman to Tony Stark slash Iron Man. And those similarities definitely do exist. But there's also some interesting similarities with Moon Knight. So with that, going to jump into some things here. Oh, and also it's worth mentioning, next month, a new Moon Knight comic book series starts.
Ooh.
Needless to say, this guy is really excited. As are all my other personalities. So Moon Knight's first appearance was in what is regarded now by a lot of comic readers as a rather obscure comic book, and that's Werewolf by Night. It was actually issue number 32 in August of 1975. It had a significant appearance there. The particular story was basically that he was sent by this group of shady persons to get Werewolf by Night, and in the end they realized that really this group of shady persons was an enemy to both of them, and you know, they teamed up, hilarity ensued, the good guys won, Moon Knight went away, and he had some other appearances here and there, and like some Incredible Hulk, an Incredible Hulk annual, and some other things. And then eventually got his own ongoing series. Then got another ongoing series a few years later after that one was canceled. He's had several limited series. The limited series get really, really trippy, especially the ones that are done by Brian Michael Bendis, who is one of my favorite comic mm-hmm. book writers, as people have probably heard. He does some seriously cerebral stuff. So the real name of Moon Knight is Mark Spector. He also goes by the identities of Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley, primarily. There are some others that pop up here and there. One of my absolute favorite interactions, which came from a comic a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, was an interaction between him and Punisher. You know, you have two street-level heroes. They're out there fighting crime. They run into each other while they're kind of out on the same mission. Punisher says, "Hey, Mark, still crazy?" Moon Knight says, "Little bit. You still murdering people?" Punisher says, "Little bit. How's your imaginary god?" Moon Knight says, "He's good. How's your dead family?" So yeah, it goes dark fast. There's a lot of similarity between Moon Knight and Punisher. Moon Knight is generally not one to be using like firearms and stuff, but he can be at times just as brutal as Punisher is. He's generally, you know, kind of not this whole "I'm such a good guy, I'm not going to kill anyone" kind of thing. Not to say that he kills people a lot, but loose morals, we'll say. So the backstory on Mark Spector, which again is the root persona, if you will, here. Son of a Jewish immigrant who had escaped the Nazis, grew up in Chicago. Later on in his childhood, he actually found out that a close family friend was actually a Nazi deserter who had a significant history of genocidal practices during the Holocaust against Jews. Mark found this out, and this would-be friend ended up having to chase down Mark and catch him before Mark could kind of reveal his secret. This guy had Mark admitted to a psych hospital, which of course is a great cover if you know, don't want anyone to believe what someone is telling them about you. Just remember that, John, in case, you know, you decide that, you know, hey, you know, our friendship isn't worth it and you want to make something up. I'm just going to say, he's nuts and we have to have him admitted. There we go. Maybe a lobotomy. Not sure. We'll see how that one goes. But the psych hospital end up actually not being too much of a stretch. Kind of the trauma of this whole thing brought out some early personalities of the other two primary personalities of Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley. Mark also encountered at the time this entity called Khonshu. Khonshu is an Egyptian god of the moon. And Khonshu plays a very significant role later on in Mark's life. At this point, Khonshu actually claimed to be his true father, which, of course, is another thing that would mess with someone in, you know, who's a child. Mm-hmm. When some weird, like, bird-beaked Egyptian god is speaking to you in your brain and says mm-hmm. that they're your father. It's slightly more disturbing than Darth Vader.
It's like, "Hi, I'm your dad."
Yeah, yeah. Who's your daddy? So Mark's father ended up passing away while Mark was in this psych hospital. He was granted a temporary pass to attend the funeral, And around about this time, Khonshu came back into his head and said, no, you should go away because no one here loves you. No one here appreciates you. You're going to go to this funeral and then they're just going to put you back in the psych ward. You need to forge ahead with your own life. So as a lot of people do, truly, not even making fun of them, who are trying to figure out their young lives, they join the military. So Mark enlisted in the Marines. Spent some time there, became a pretty efficient fighter, was discharged because of some mental health concerns by his superiors, ended up in the CIA, was there for a time.
As they do when they've got mental health problems.
Exactly. Exactly. Because maybe the CIA doesn't screen for these things. I don't know. Ended up...
I've tried multiple times.
Ended up being dismissed from the CIA because of some mental health problems. And somewhere in this intervening time, he meets an individual named Frenchie DeChamp. Frenchie and he become good friends, and Frenchie has some lines in the mercenary business, which if you are someone who kind of doesn't fit into the rest of the world and you have some very particular set of deadly skills, hey, let's become a mercenary, right? Mm-hmm. Works very well.
Seems legit.
Yeah, totally. So on one of these mercenary missions, you know, Mark's rather fluid morality does kind of go over to a better side. He's working for this guy called Bushman. And Bushman is out in Egypt, and I actually don't particularly remember what the whole mission was that Bushman had. But whatever it was, he wanted to kill all the witnesses. And the witnesses at this time were an Egyptologist and the Egyptologist's daughter, Marlene. And Mark basically said, hey, look, there's really no sense in killing him. We did our thing. They can go talk to whoever they want to. No one's going to catch us. Doesn't matter. Just let him go. So Bushman, not a fan of this idea, kills the Egyptologist. Mark interludes so Marlene does not get killed, but Mark gets severely injured. And then just kind of left in the desert for dead. Marlene ends up finding him, drags him into a cave for shelter and to, you know, hopefully see if there's anything that she can do for him. Within the cave, there were runes of an idol of this god, Khonshu. Mark is kind of in this fever dream kind of thing. He has this encounter with Khonshu, and maybe Khonshu is Mephisto, not sure. The whole Mephisto thing comes back a little bit later. But
Mephisto!
Everything is Mephisto.
Yeah. So Mark actually cuts a deal with Khonshu. Khonshu says, hey, look, I'll give you your life back if you basically commit your life to serving me. And I think like any of us, he says, yeah, hey, sure. Why not? Let's do it. So Mark is revived. He decides I'm done with this mercenary thing. He moves back to New York City. Or actually moves to New York City. He was originally from Chicago. Marlene kind of goes in tow, forms this romantic relationship with Marlene, and ends up adopting this persona of Stephen Grant. Stephen Grant is a financial genius. So he becomes a financier. He builds this absolute fortune. And this is kind of where one of those similarities to Batman, or actually Bruce Wayne, comes about, because he builds this big mansion. His Moon Knight lair is kind of underneath this mansion. And Stephen Grant is largely his public persona. Over time, some people get to learn that he's really Mark Spector. But he's not really so much out there as Mark. He's mostly out there as Stephen Grant. The other persona, Jake Lockley, is kind of the opposite of Stephen Grant. Jake Lockley is a cab driver. And so literally in the Stephen Grant mansion, in the garage, is Jake Lockley's cab. And in the comics, it's this really weird thing that sometimes, like, sometimes he just needs a break from the reality that he's living in, or other times he decides, ah, you know what, I'm working this case and I need to get some, you know, street level information. I got to talk to the people that might know. And so this is another kind of Batman analog, because he becomes this detective of sorts, and he'll put on a flat cap and a leather jacket, and boom, he's now Jake Lockley. So he goes out in his cab and he gathers some of that information. And then, you know, we kind of revert back to Mark Spector / Moon Knight, who is then using this information to fight crime, as one does. So Moon Knight, kind of through time, takes on some villains of increasing stature. Frenchie becomes his partner. Frenchie's also a pilot, by the way. And so Frenchie ends up piloting helicopters and planes and that kind of stuff for him. Another, you know, Batman analog is that, you know, Batman has the Batwing and the Batcopter. Moon Knight has a helicopter, and I think there was some name for the helicopter, I don't remember. But eventually had this little jet, which is it's a crescent. Crescent moon, which is Moon Knight's kind of symbol. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you add a couple of other wiggly lines in the middle, and then it would look like a bat.
Yeah.
Does he have moon shark repellent?
You never know what is on the utility belt of a good crime fighter, John.
That's true.
You never
They're
know.
Always prepared.
Yeah. Also, whereas Batman prefers things to be black, his costume is black, his tools are black, his car is black, his aircraft are black, that kind of thing, Moon Knight prefers white. And his whole thing there is basically, I want the bad guys to see me coming. Because I want them, you know, particularly once his reputation gets out there, he's like, I want him to see me, and I want him to be terrified before I beat the crap out of him. So he then ends up getting involved in kind of some of the greater Marvel Universe here. He briefly joins the Defenders, actually ends up rescuing Thing. In a particular storyline, he fights alongside Spider-Man. But then they also get into this personal side of him, where his relationship with Marlene is on again, off again, mostly because of the strain that she experiences, not only from him being a crime fighter, but also the dissociative personality disorder, which I really do appreciate how they address this in the comics, even in some of the comics kind of, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, where they sometimes didn't take mental health so seriously. In a lot of cases, they really do treat it pretty well in there, and they kind of show, like, hey, here's some of, while they espouse it as a cool aspect of the character, they still also reflect on the strain of personal relationships that happen in this. And it's really interesting. You know, sometimes, a lot of times, it'll go to the point of where Marlene or Frenchie are, like, you know, talking to Mark, and then they're like, hey, who are we talking to right now? Like, you know, which one is this? Because sometimes they can't completely tell. Or sometimes, like, within the middle of a conversation, he'll change from Mark to Stephen Grant. Or the other way around. And it obviously can be really confusing and a lot of strain. So he also ends up with a lot of PTSD from his military experiences and really his crime fighting, as we see actually with a lot of superheroes, that the crime fighting thing kind of becomes an obsession to them. And he's obviously prone to some mental health issues. And this is something that they will continue to explore in a lot of other future material for him. For a bit of time, he joins the West Coast Avengers, has a bit of a romantic relationship with Tigra. he does end up back in New York City after a while, teams up with Punisher several times in some different crime fighting, teams with Black Panther. And they kind of do this interesting thing where they both enter the spirit realm. And we saw Black Panther in the movie where mm-hmm. Black Panther enters the spirit realm when he's talking to his father and all that. And that's something that was inspired by the comics. And so, yeah, he teams with Black Panther to help Black Panther reconnect with Bast, which is the god that they worship and who that Wakandans worship and gives basically the powers of the Black Panther. Again, as unfortunately a lot of our superheroes, he ends up with some breakdowns involving alcohol and drugs, a lot of then conversations with Khonshu. And as this goes on, as a reader, you kind of can't tell if this whole Khonshu thing is real or not. And especially given his other mental health issues, like, you just kind of don't know. You're like, all right, is this a fever dream kind of a thing? Or is Khonshu, like, legit? You just kind of don't know. It's really strange. Let's see. So he was kind of fundamentally in retirement for a while he was doing this. In this storyline, they had Frenchie come out as being gay. And in doing so, ended up getting the crap beat out of him. And so Moon Knight then came out of retirement to basically avenge Frenchie. And it then kind of the story rolled from there where, you know, then he saw something which then uncovered something else and then, you know, more criminals. Moon Knight actually had beaten Taskmaster, one of the heroes who had done that. He really didn't participate much in Civil War because basically everyone said he was crazy. Captain America literally thought he belonged in an asylum. And Tony Stark encountered him once, which was, hey, I heard you were talking to Cap. What'd he tell you? That was it. There was Moon Knight's entire involvement in Civil War. After Civil War, Mark did, in fact, register with the government to ensure that he wasn't arrested while he was, quote, working.
Which personality registered, though?
I believe it was Mark Spector.
Okay.
That actually registered, yeah. Valid question. Mark did end up eventually faking his own death. And we've talked about in the comics the whole Norman Osborn kind of thing. Like, we know Norman as a villain. He kind of always has been a villain, but then he seemingly becomes like this hero within, or, you know, he's basically fooling people into thinking that he's a hero and all that. That's a storyline we should talk about at some point. But basically, Norman Osborn is like basically the mayor of New York City and controlling a lot of stuff. He forms the Thunderbolts and all that. Mark ends up having to fake his own death because Norman Osborn sent the Thunderbolts after him. He really couldn't compete at that point. He went down to Mexico, went into hiding for a while, eventually comes back to New York City. And it's, again, we don't know if it's part of his mental thing or if it really was Khonshu. But when he comes back to New York City, Khonshu is now pushing him to become more and more violent. And this was basically the pushback against Osborn and Osborn's people, where Khonshu was saying, look, they're going to continue to be relentless. You need to push back hard. They're coming after you hard. You need to go after them hard. So he got himself reestablished. He was eventually recruited by Steve Rogers, who I guess Cap didn't think he was that crazy anymore, to become a member of the Secret Avengers. So this was now, Steve had started to reform the Avengers after they were disbanded, but he also had kind of this side team of people called the Secret Avengers. Brought Moon Knight into them, I think, because he could basically disavow any association with Moon Knight with the Secret Avengers, since they were very unofficial. And a fun fact with the Secret Avengers thing is that Steve Rogers asked Moon Knight to wear black. So in that particular run, Moon Knight wore black because Steve's like, if they can see you coming, we're all screwed. You're just giving everything away. We want to be able to, like, sneak up on him. Because, you know, that'd be a good thing. Yes, ignore the fact that I have this, you know, white shiny star on my chest. Right. But we need you to, like...
That's besides the point.
Yeah, yeah. But we need you to not be dressed in all white, because, no.
That's too much.
So he does do that, but basically his teammates didn't trust him because of his mental instabilities. Then there's a side trip. Mark decides to move to L.A. and become a television producer, as mildly psychotic superheroes do, right? That's what we do. He created a television show called The Legend of Khonshu, which is based on his own past. This was a weird storyline. I apologize. I'm not making it up. During this particular time, he ends up with a bunch of hallucinations of Captain America, Wolverine, and Spider-Man talking to him, having several interactions with him, and enlisting him to return to crime fighting to stop a particular criminal action in the LA area, which actually resulted in his capturing an Ultron head, which obviously is some significant contraband. During these hallucinations, he actually took on the personalities of Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Captain America, including their costumes, their weapons, everything.
All right, now I want to Google that. Look.
Yeah. So he would... He actually had, and again, there's kind of a long, convoluted story with this, but he actually had a shield armor assigned to him to create some different things for a completely different purpose. And he kept on having this armor like, hey, Wolverine's claws, they're kind of cool. Could you, you think you could kind of, you know, build me a set? Okay. Hey, Cap shield. Awesome, by the way. Could you build me one? Yeah, yeah. Oh, those web shooters that Spider-Man has? Those are really cool. What you got? So, yeah. So this whole thing happens. He ends up doing this.
Yeah. He literally has, like, all everyone's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 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 It's pretty wild. He briefly dates Echo. We've profiled Echo before. And in this particular storyline, Echo dies. Mark then actually takes on another personality, which is based on Echo. And then later on, a personality based on Tony Stark. And everything just goes weird. This was a very odd storyline. And they kind of, I won't say they hit the reset button after this, but they just moved him back to New York City. And they're kind of like, yeah, we're not going to revisit that one again. Weird storyline. But when he moves back to New York City, he ends up forging a relationship with an NYPD detective to work some different cases. He's still kind of persona non grata as in New York City as Moon Knight. So because obviously no one would be able to tell the difference, he takes on the personality of someone called Mr. Knight, who dresses as Moon Knight, except without the cape. And just a face-fitting white mask. And so no one would know the difference between Mr. Knight and Moon Knight, I guess. I don't know. He drove around in a limousine. He became this detective consultant, again, very Batman-y. But then Moon Knight was, you know, still doing his thing. Kind of odd. He was actually told by a psychologist at this point in time, because he was trying to like analyze himself, fix himself, that he actually didn't suffer from dissociative identity disorder, but rather the personalities were his mind's way of dealing with Khonshu, basically trying to take over his brain. And these different aspects of Khonshu became these personalities. So this was kind of his way to push those personalities outwards. Became an interesting perspective on things. This was a Brian Michael Bendis storyline. It eventually ended up with Mark being back in an institution for some deep therapy. Actually, one of like the great covers of this was Mark mostly in his Moon Knight garb in a straitjacket. And we've seen however many countless Batman covers very similarly, because, you know, Batman ends up going crazy with all the stuff that he deals with, too. So, again, a lot of analog here. As part of his treatment in this therapy, Mark was led to believe that Khonshu was trying to take over his body, similar along with his brain. And the only way to beat Khonshu was actually to embrace the multiple personalities, which he did. But fundamentally, that opens the door to Khonshu. This leads us then to the most recent storyline, which is called The Age of Khonshu. This was a few issues in the Avengers comic. And so basically, Khonshu started having visions of the end of the world at the hands of Mephisto, of course, because Mephisto ultimately is in everything. Mark becomes powered by Khonshu. And part of him is able to mystically travel back in time to gain powers of the Avengers of the Stone Age. And also in the present timeline, defeating and very easily defeating certain other heroes like Iron Fist, Doctor Strange, and he takes the Eye of Agamotto. In defeating Iron Fist, he takes the power of the Iron Fist. He defeats Ghost Rider. And so now he has the spirit of vengeance as in all of those powers. And in fact, even Thor. And yes, he picks up Mjolnir.
Doesn't he basically catch Mjolnir?
Yes. Yeah. Thor actually throws Mjolnir at him and he catches Mjolnir. And then using the powers of Khonshu, because Khonshu is the god of the moon, he does away with Thor by throwing a moon at him, as one does.
Yeah.
So now Moon Knight has all these insane level powers. Kills Mephisto. He kills Mephisto by throwing Mjolnir through Mephisto, like through his chest. Yeah. It would probably kill someone if you throw a mystical hammer through them. Khonshu then basically took all these powers back into himself and took over Manhattan as part of a global conquest, basically saying it was kind of one of those like well-intentioned evil things of like, well, you know what? If I take everything over, I can put order and peace to everything.
By the way, slight segue. If you ever find yourself in the Marvel Comics universe, don't move to Manhattan.
Yeah, bad thing. Everything bad happens there.
Like every 2 months.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Man.
Totally. Very, very true.
Best to stay away from Manhattan.
Yeah. So when all this happens, the Avengers, of course, become fugitives because they want to stop Moon Knight and Khonshu, and Moon Knight, of course, becomes basically the primary agent of Khonshu and still is periodically imbued with the powers that Khonshu is now controlling so he can fight different people. He did end up getting his ass completely handed to him by Black Panther. But actually in doing so, he ended up realizing that being beaten by Black Panther could be a good thing, because he figured, okay, the only way to defeat Khonshu, so Mark came to realize, hey, this whole thing that Khonshu's doing is bad, is if he gets the Phoenix Force. Because, sure, why not?
Yeah.
So typically to get the Phoenix Force, you have to have a kind of sacrifice to this. So this beating that he takes becomes the token of devotion, basically pushes Black Panther to practically kill him. He gets the Phoenix Force. He defeats Khonshu. All the stolen powers get returned to their owners. Mark actually has the will to resist the power of the Phoenix, because the power of the Phoenix said, hey, Misa back. I'm back on Earth. I want to destroy Earth now. and so Mark then allows himself to get beaten up again, this time by Thor, who basically knocks the Phoenix out of him. And so that's that. That's where we have last left Moon Knight. The Avengers chose to not imprison Moon Knight because they realized that he was, in fact, being controlled by Khonshu. So really, this is kind of the most significant storyline that we've seen that, hey, Khonshu is real. Because up until now, again, it was awfully ambiguous. We really didn't know. So he has on and off gotten powers from Khonshu. Of course, Mark's own abilities. He was a Marine. He was in the CIA. He was a mercenary. So just like a lot of our generally non-superpowered heroes, he can fight really well. He's a pilot. He's a detective. He's a martial artist. He's a marksman. He can do all that stuff. His equipment and his equipment has evolved over time. His suit was originally built of Kevlar. It is now reinforced with adamantium because, yeah.
As suits should be.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. He has some dart launchers in his gauntlets. His cloak can become a glider. He has a crescent cable line. He has crescent darts, just like the Batarang. One of his favorite weapons is his truncheon, which is basically a billy club, but can also break apart into nunchucks, and it can also extend to basically function as a grappling hook. So it's this really cool multifunction kind of thing. The weird thing is, in the original series that started in the 70s and went into the early 80s, every time he pulled out the truncheon, and it's just how comics were written then, they explained what the truncheon was. Every single time. Just one of those like really tediously annoying things. Because they figured, well, no one knows what a truncheon is, so we have to explain it because this could be the first comic they ever picked up.
Like the Immortal Iron Fist.
Yes, yes. He would have like he would use spike knuckles, a variety of different technology, drones. Mr. Knight, of course, as I mentioned, had the limo. He's had a helicopter. He's had a Quinjet. The Angel Wing is his crescent-shaped jet that Frenchie flies, and he also flies on occasion. So that's it. That's what we have for Moon Knight. There's a lot of like really deep possibilities for where the TV series is going to go, and I'm excited about it. You guys, first of all, thank you for going on this ride with me. As you know, I was really excited to talk about them.
We're excited that you're excited.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how much you guys knew about Moon Knight going into this. I know he's not like a hugely popular character. Discuss.
I knew very little about the character, but I do appreciate the as you were saying about the mental health and how they approach that, because a lot of the times we see in media, especially in popular media, that the reason behind like villains or evil characters, the reason why they're evil or bad is because they have some kind of mental health, mm-hmm. or they have problems with their mental health. Which isn't the case, because there's a lot of people we know who live, you know, just, you know, they're not evil people. They right. have mental health problems and they have mental health things that they're working through, but they're not evil, horrible people that are going to go around hurting people. I appreciate that that's kind of the direction they took with Moon Knight from what I've seen. And I'm sure that the MCU, when they bring Moon Knight into the MCU, they're going to have that same, they're going to, you know, cover it in a similar way, and probably more so because they know how sensitive talking about mental health is. So yeah. I really appreciate that about the character, that they don't just make him an evil villain. They're not like, oh, well, yep, he's a bad guy because he's got these problems. They talk about everything about it. So I really appreciated that. Just even before just talking about anything else about the character, I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where they take the show. And with characters like Moon Knight, there is a lot of background, a lot of angles they can take. I think like Sheba said, and Tim, you highlighted, I also think this is a great opportunity for them to take a different take on mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think in the 80s or the 90s, if a Moon Knight show had been out there, it would have been very different. I think that they can use this show as a platform to show that it, and I'm struggling to find the right words, not that it's a strength, but it is something that a lot of people deal with. Mm-hmm. And it's not the end of the world. It is not, you know, this something that should be hid in a closet. So yeah. I'm really curious to see what they do with it. I don't want, and I don't think they will, I don't want them to make him Marvel's Batman. I think right. There's a lot more to him than that.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be those comparisons, but I think there's a lot that they can do with him. And I certainly hope with that tying him into the movies as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the other characters, because just, he does come into contact with a lot of the characters, and it would be really cool, because I know there are rumors floating around that Punisher will be back and things like that, and I'd be really excited about that, because from the little snippet that you shared with us, Tim, I would like to see that interaction between Punisher and Moon Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a worthwhile rumor. I really want to see how Moon Knight interacts with a lot of other characters. And I really appreciate that they are rolling this out as a series. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, as we've discussed many times before, you have a series, you have something that's episodic. It's long form storytelling, and it allows a lot of character development. And character development is very much going to help support this character, especially when there's that much complexity. And fundamentally, there are four characters that have to be revealed in the same person. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to require a little bit of exploration. I'm obviously really excited about it. I'm looking forward to more news, too. I want to hear more on casting announcements and, you know, who's going to be in it. I want to see Frenchie in it. I want to see them play up the whole Khonshu thing, because obviously that's a big part.
Yeah.
I think Marlene makes a really good counterbalance to Moon Knight. And depending on the writing in the series, Marlene was everything from basically the hookup that he went home to. I mean, literally, like, there were some of the runs that, like, oh, he'd go home and there's Marlene waiting in bed for him wearing lingerie. And it's like, oh, good God, really? That's all you're doing?
Yeah.
Then there's other times where Marlene she's like helping him solve crimes. Like, she becomes like this assistant detective, and she's out there doing things and getting access to things and researching things and all that stuff. And they actually gave her character much more substance, which I appreciated. So, you know, I'd like to see Marlene in this. There have also been rumors of some possible connections to Blade. If they do that,
which would be so cool.
Yeah, I think that would be great. Werewolf by Night could be brought into that too, maybe. You know, if you're kind of dealing with some of that supernatural type of aspect of things. Either way, I would love to see them go down the road to the Midnight Suns. So, you know, some good stuff, lots of fun. And of course, Mephisto. Because every series on Disney Plus has to have Mephisto. In fact, exactly. The Bad Batch, the current Star Wars series that's running, it's Mephisto.
Oh, everything is Mephisto.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to let everybody know.
Yeah.
So that's that. Of course, this episode went long. But I appreciate everyone hanging out with me for it and entertaining my mild obsession. So that's it. So yes, folks, thank you. If you have any questions, comments, shared excitement about Moon Knight, please reach out, let us know. And otherwise, we will catch you next week. Thanks a lot. Take care.